Hi, this is Bill Ringel, host of My Quest for the Best, where we meet business thought and community leaders to discuss issues relevant to entrepreneurial growth. Joining us today is John Jamison. John is a successful businessman and has launched several companies from nothing more than an idea and a goal. He's spoken to hundreds of audiences all over the United States and Canada on the subjects of business, real estate, and wealth creation. John has spoken in almost every major city in the United States and Canada and is a sought-after speaker and trainer. He's also part owner of a real estate investment and sales company in the Metro Detroit area that works with out-of-area investors to help them build what he calls real estate cash flow machines. John has been a lifelong resident of Metro Detroit and puts his years of experience with that real estate market to use for investors from all over the globe. John's a former top-selling agent and corporate sales trainer for Century 21 and RE/MAX. He's also the author of several training programs on wealth creation and has several live events throughout the year in his hometown of Detroit, Michigan. John is the best-selling author of the book entitled The Perpetual Wealth System. Welcome, John.
Oh, Bill, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you today.
John, tell me, how did you get your start in business?
Well, my start came, I was a disenchanted college student. And before I was a college student, I was a high school failure. I mean, I limped into college, Bill, barely got in there. I got in on probation, actually. And they said, hey, kid, if you don't get at least a 2.0 your first term, you're out. And I actually did pretty well in college. I stayed there for 2 years. My grades were respectable. I got myself together. But I hated every second I was there. It just wasn't for me. I was studying hotel management, knew I didn't want to do that, but didn't know what else I wanted to do. And all those years ago, infomercials were brand new. And I was watching an infomercial late at night, and it said, hey, learn how to buy real estate, no down payment, no credit. And I went to my mom, and I said, Mom, how do you do stuff like that? You know, she had bought and sold quite a bit of houses herself, not for business, but just because she had moved quite a bit. My dad passed away at a young age, and she just was trying to find herself as well. So she made money on a lot of property. She goes, I don't know how to do that. I put a down payment down, and I go to the credit union. And so I was fascinated by that, and I borrowed the money from her. Actually, she gave it to me. I never paid her back. But I bought the program, and I got excited about real estate, about business, about finance. And I began devouring everything I possibly could on that topic to the point of I decided that after 2 years of school, I wanted to quit college. And my mom was not happy about that because she was a big believer in formal education. But I did it anyways. And, you know, fast forward 20-some years later, I've been very fortunate, made a lot of money, started many businesses from a thought, also lost a lot of money. I mean, I won't lie to anybody. In 07 and 08, when the real estate market collapsed, part of it collapsed on me. So I was able to get out from all that, but I had to give a lot of money, you know, off the table. I had to give it back. But that's when I learned really what I had done not so good the previous 20 years. Even though I'd made a lot of money, I realized that, wow, this could have been done so much better, which is where the concept of the perpetual wealth system comes into play.
What were some of the lessons you learned when you went through that painful period?
Well, I learned that when one door closes, two more open. But you have to be looking. You can't dwell on the one that closed. You have to get over it. You have to move on. It's just a natural part of life. It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get up. And when you get up and turn around, you realize that, hey, you know what? There's another door over here. I just need to go bust it open. I think people run into problems, Bill, when they've heard that saying before, but they don't see the door. They see the door, and it's not open. Well, sometimes you got to find the door, or sometimes the door's there, and you got to bust it open. And that's what I did. So I learned, you know, number one, that to go through financial hardships is not as bad as a lot of people make it out to be, frankly, at least if you're coming at it with the right mental attitude. So I got through that, past it, and now I'm on to ventures that I would have never looked at had I not gone through those financial times. So, if you're going through some tough financial times, understand it's a short-term period. It's not failure. It's short-term. Move on.
When you were actually in that position, can you remember what it was like to get up and talk yourself into looking for that other open door, looking for that next opportunity, and maybe something specific that came along that you said, all right, that's it, I'm going to go for it?
Well, I can tell you this. I'm a huge believer in education. And I must have the biggest collection of CDs, tapes, manuals, you name a seminar, I've been to it. I mean, I probably spent a couple $100,000 on, over a 20-some year period on books, tapes, seminars. So what I find is when you're down like that, even though sometimes you don't want to hear it, you need to pop in some stuff that motivates you. You need to pop in some things that get your creativity thinking again. And so what I did, I really went back to basics because I found that for a while I kind of thought I knew it all. You know, I got kind of cocky, which is why sometimes I think, you know, God looks at you and says, okay, well, let's see if you can handle this. And so I said, you know what? What did I do when I started from scratch? I started listening to stuff, and I started being motivated, and I started making action plans. And so I went back to basics, and that's exactly what I did, and ended up, you know, building a business that's way better than the business that I struggled with before when the real estate market collapsed. So I think it's just about every day putting something good into your mind and making an action plan every day. And even if it's a 20-thing action, you know, a 20-process action plan for the day, and you only do 3 that day, check them off and go on to the next day.
What would you say were 2 or 3 of the best resources you listened to at that time that helped work for you, you know, helped get you started, helped light the fire under you in order to get you motivated and out there to go back to the basics and get things done?
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate. I've had several really good mentors in my life who I've got a lot of educational material from, learned a lot from. At that point, I needed a new concept. I came up with a good concept, and I needed to market it. So I went back to one of my old marketing mentors, and his name is Dan Kennedy. Many people might be familiar with him. I'm sure, I know you are, Bill. But some people might not be, and he's definitely worth checking out. I've got a lot of his material, a lot of books. Went to a lot of his seminars, and it was all great stuff. I mean, really out-of-the-box, cutting-edge things where you see why people from all over the country follow this guy and really pay attention to what he says because he's got the credentials to back it up. And so I took those things that I learned from Dan along with some other things, and I launched another company called Perpetual Wealth Systems. And I don't know that I would have done that as successfully as I did without the help that I got from Dan Kennedy. He's been a huge mentor. And then I've got some other mentors as well. There's a gentleman named Ron LeGrand from the real estate world who, you know, I've done a lot of stuff with, met him several times. He's a really good guy, and he's got a lot of productive stuff if you want to get into real estate investment.
And tell me, what does Perpetual Wealth Systems do to help people today? What kind of problems are people facing when your solution is a good fit for them?
Yeah, well, what we realized back when I was going through those tough times is, you know, Bill, the financial model that we've all been taught from the time we're 3 years old is broke, and it favors Wall Street, banks, and Uncle Sam. They're the ones that train us. It's their system. So they have us set up in a way that is predisposed that it's going to benefit them and not benefit us. So what I went back to do, I said, look, where does all your money go? And if you map out where your money goes, you lose most of your money, most of us about 40% of our money every month in monthly payments. Meanwhile, we're taught, hey, take 10% of what you make and put it away, put it inside your 401k or your IRA and put it in, and you're going to be wealthy by the time you retire. Well, you know, the average American makes about $2 million over their lifetime, so 10% if they're able to do it. And by the way, the national savings rate's only about 3.5%, so most people are failing miserably with that 10% solution. But even if they're able to put away 10% of $2 million, that's only $200,000. Some growth on it, which when you're putting your money in the stock market, that's an assumption for sure. But that's just not enough money to retire on. Meanwhile, you've paid out millions of dollars to banks in the form of payments over your lifetime. So what I ask people to do is add up all the payments you've paid out to lending institutions over your lifetime. It's going to be a lot. I'm talking about on cars, boats, real estate, student loans, you name it, business loans. That's going to be a really big figure. Whatever that figure is, times it by 2. And you times it by 2 because by you giving up control of all that money over your lifetime to the banks, that means that you got no growth out of that money. The banks got all the benefit from it. So if you say, well, look, I paid out about $1 million in payments, times it by 2, that would be $2 million in your pocket, and compare that to the amount of money that you have saved up in your IRAs and your 401ks. And almost without fail, Bill, it's banks a whole bunch of money, us a little bit of money. So we show people how to stop that madness and reverse money flow and keep all that money that's flowing out of their life every month to start keeping that within their own family, within their own family financing system. We call it a private bank, and create automatic tax-free generational wealth by following that simple system. Regardless of what a stock market does, regardless of what a real estate market does, you still create wealth automatically and systematically. So we train people how to do that, and even after they're trained, we set it up for them and walk them step process.
Is it something that requires a lot of work, or are there some parts of it that can be automated?
No, a lot of it can be automated. It requires very little work. You know what I tell people is, do you know how to make a monthly payment? And, of course, they laugh because we all know how to make monthly payments. Well, the only thing we're going to do differently is we're going to show you make your monthly payment to a different place, and it's going to be to you. We're going to show you how to control the bank, how to control the pool of funds. Because banking, Bill, as you know, in some form or fashion, has been around for thousands of years. I mean, if you could walk your ox into the temple, you could get a loan against it thousands of years ago. And so I'd submit to you and your listeners that any business model that's been around for thousands of years is a good business model. But the only problem from our end is we've only been trained to be borrowers. We all know about credit scores. We know about ratios. We've been brainwashed so bad when it comes to banking that we only know it from one standpoint, and the banks trained us. The banks really don't want us to know how to bank and how to use volume and velocity to create wealth just like they do. So, you know, we show people that, look, you can control your own pool of funds. You can control your own destiny and control your own wealth. One of the first processes of that is setting up your own family financing system.
When somebody sets up their own family financing system, what's one of the first things they start to recognize or be aware of, say, in the first 2 or 3 months?
Yeah, boy, is that a good question. What they're going to find out very quickly is if they set up their own family financing system, loan themselves money, and make payments back to themselves, they're going to have a paradigm shift on how money really works. And let me give you a quick example. Let's just say you make a $500 car payment. Well, if you make it like everybody else in the country does, you cut it out of your checking account, and it goes to the finance company, and your $500 is gone for the rest of your life, and you're paying on an asset that's depreciating, you know, dramatically. Well, what I do, because I've self-financed my own cars, and I set it up in a very specifically designed account that we can talk about, I make a $500 payment, but the payment just goes from my checking account to another account that I totally control that I have access to. So while I'm paying down the loan, I'm getting the benefit of the loan paid down. I'm picking up the interest, and that happens month after month after month. So after 3 or 4 months, you're like, hey, wait a minute. I got an extra $2,200 in here that I would have given up to the lending institutions in the last few months. So it doesn't, and that's only on a $500 car payment. You start talking about two car payments and some other financing things we can do. You really notice in a few months that you're really starting to keep and accumulate wealth. See, Bill, a lot of people focus on, I got to make more, 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 and that's okay. We want you to make more money. I know you know, you train your people, hey, go out there and double, triple, quadruple your income, and that's great. But what about maximizing the money that already comes in your life by plugging up, you know, massive wealth drains that are bleeding you dry every month and most of the time without your knowledge? So if you can do that and learn how to make more money, that is a true path to financial independence and wealth in record time.
So what you're saying is, first of all, you become the bank, so you get the benefit of loaning yourself money. And second of all, it's just as beneficial to keep more money in your own account as to plug the leaks as it is to bring in more money. So those are two big ideas that people often don't think about.
You know, you're right. And one of the oldest sayings from this country is from our old friend Ben Franklin. He said, a penny saved is a penny earned. Now, he made the mistake of saying a penny because that was his time. And back then, you know, a penny still wasn't much, but it was certainly more than it is today. Well, think of it this way. You know, $1,000 saved is $1,000 earned. And so if I can create, plug those four massive wealth drains that we have in our lives, if I can plug those and or at least slow them down, I'm going to automatically create more wealth for me and my family. Without fail, every time, no matter what the stock market does, no matter what the real estate market does, I'm going to accumulate wealth. And that's what we show people how to do.
What are the other three wealth drains, or what are the four wealth drains that you tell people to look at in order to plug those big leaks in their buckets?
Yeah, great question. You know, it's very simple. The biggest expense most people have over their lifetime are income taxes. And yet it's a system that most people have no idea how it works. Even a lot of business people don't really know how it works, and they'll rely totally on their CPAs and on their tax attorneys. Well, look, those are great resources, and I use them as well. But at the end of the day, there's nobody cares about your money as much as you care about your money. So you need to understand how the tax system works, and there's certain things that are very tax beneficial to grow wealth. There's certain accounts that are tax favored, and I'm not talking about 401ks or IRAs. I'm talking about a totally different account that we're going to get into here shortly. So if we can get income taxes under control, and if we paid 30-40% less income taxes, that's immediately more wealth. Second drain is interest and fees paid to banks. We talked a little bit about adding up monthly payments. Well, add up how much interest that is over your lifetime and all the fees and the charges that you pay to banks. And if you didn't have to pay those, and even better than that, if you paid them but paid them to yourself, how much more wealth would you create? Third wealth drain is market losses. You know, people have come to take for granted, Bill, that they have to lose money if they're going to have money in a 401k. And the reason is because those 401ks are put inside mutual funds, and those mutual funds are creating a ton of wealth for Wall Street money managers. But frankly, they're not performing that well for the people that have the money in the system. So what if you never lost another dime in your life? What if you never had to lose a nickel? Well, when you put your money in properly designed accounts, you don't ever have to lose a nickel. So that goes back to $1,000 saved is $1,000 earned. So that's another wealth drain. Last but not least, and this is a wealth drain that nobody talks about because they don't really know what to do about it, but we do, depreciation on big assets. So if you take an automobile, you know, you buy it for $25,000, 5 years later it's worth $5,000, you know, you've lost $20,000 on that automobile. And that's real money that you never recapture. And then what do? You go out and do it again and do it again. And the average person will spend way more money on automobiles over their lifetime and lose more money on automobiles than they're ever able to put away for retirement. Well, what if you could actually make money on depreciating assets? Would you or would you not create wealth quicker? Of course we would, in a huge way. So if we take those four wealth drains and we can either plug them up or slow them down dramatically, we're going to create much more wealth quicker and simpler.
John, I could see why people get so excited about understanding your views on how to create wealth, because they're revolutionary ideas that many advisors don't talk about, maybe because they don't understand or don't understand the market the way that you do. What do you find is one of the biggest myths that people walk around with when you first encounter them and start to help indoctrinate them into this different paradigm?
Well, one of the biggest myths is that we should fund our 401k to the max. Even if, whether we're getting a match or not, let's fund our 401ks. And I tell people something that's pure heresy in the financial world, but I prove it with fifth grade math, and I'll do it for you if you'd like. I show people that they're better off buying their car than funding their 401k. And, of course, that sounds ridiculous, but I can prove it with fifth grade math if you let me spend a couple minutes. It's up to you.
Yeah, go through that. It's interesting.
All right, great. Let's take an example. Let's take $25,000, and let's assume you put that inside your 401k. Now, you probably can't get $25,000 in 1 year, but let's just assume that you could. You put it in there. It goes inside mutual funds, and it goes into the stock market. And let's just say, for the sake of example, that over a five-year period, you got over 30% on your money. Now, not 30% annually, but the account grew by 30% over 5 years. Let's say it went up by $8,000. So, you know, that's fantastic. First of all, those are Disneyland numbers, I have to tell you, Bill. Anybody with a 401k out there, not one out of 1,000 has ever made 30% on their 401k over a five-year time frame, because their money's going up.
I was ready to write
down
the name of that 401k.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm giving you the absolute benefit of the doubt. Let's just say the stock market went crazy, everything was right in the universe, and you made $8,000. All right, fantastic. But because you put all your money in the 401k, at the same time, you needed an automobile. Let's face it, we all buy automobiles. Many of us, several automobiles between our spouses, kids, everything else. So we needed an automobile, and we didn't have any money because we put it inside the 401k, but that's okay because we can finance it. Zero down, $100, $500 a month, whatever it is. So let's just say now we go finance a car. We bought the car for $25,000. Same money as in the 401k. It's now 5 years later. That car is worth only $5,000, so we lost $20,000. We've also paid back the bank $5,000 worth of interest. So we're out $25,000 on that car, and yet we made $8,000 over in our 401k. So the biggest problem that people run into is they don't understand that their finances are a whole. They're not just a slice. And that 401k piece is one small piece of a really big financial pie. So when you think that, okay, I made $8,000 over here, but I lost $25,000 over here, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, but you lost a ton of money over that five-year time frame. You got no ahead. You went backwards, backwards, backwards. So what if we did this? What
so in other words, I'm out net $12,000 where I thought that I had gained $8 by having to pay that and lost $20. I'm down by more than $12.
Well, actually, hold on now. Let's walk through that. If you lose $25 over here, but you gain $8, so $25 minus $8 is how much?
$17.
$17,000. You're out $17,000 net loss, $17,000 over 5 years. And realistically, did that 401k make that much money? No, it didn't. It probably broke even or made a couple bucks or might even lost money. So you could very easily lose $25,000 or $30,000 or $35,000 during that same time frame. So to stop that madness, what if we just don't fund the 401k? All right. What if we take that $25,000, put it inside a very specifically designed account, which we're going to talk about, and we borrow that money out of the account, we treat it like a bank, we pay cash for the car, but instead of letting the cash sit there and depreciate, we create a monthly payment back to that pool of funds just like we would have if we'd have borrowed it from Bank of America. Let's do that simple process. Everyone knows how to make a payment. So now let's see where we stand 5 years later. 5 years later, our car is still worth $5,000. Nothing we can do about that. However, we have paid back the $25,000 principal. So we've recaptured that inside of our account. We picked up the $5,000 interest. Why? Because we paid it to ourselves because we had to pay somebody, so why not us? That's $30,000. We also got at least another, it'll be more than this, but for round numbers, we picked up another $5,000 in growth on the account because when we set it up, this kind of account I'm talking about, the companies pay us just to have the money set up. Even if we borrow the money, just to have the account set up, they'll pay us interest. So during that 5 years, let's say we picked up another $5,000. So wait a minute, Bill, let's do some simple math here. $25,000 back in the account, $5,000 of interest, another $5,000 of growth, that's $35,000 liquid cash, tax-free, by the way, because of the account we set it up in, and we still have the $5,000 car. So we have $40,000 of assets. So now we've got a five-year-old car. Do we just want to keep it and leave it paid off for a while? We probably should. But even if you don't, if you wanted to go out and buy that same $25,000 car, could you? Sure you could. You got $35,000. Borrow $25,000 out again. Repeat the process. Do that constantly, and you're always going to recapture depreciation that you would have lost, and you're going to make interest on your money, and it's going to happen systematically and automatically, regardless of whatever happens in the financial markets.
John, these kinds of ideas ought to be taught widely. Is this the kind of thing that inspired you to write the Perpetual Wealth System? What was the motivation behind putting all this down into your book?
You hit the nail right on the head. The motivation was I had looked at my own life, and I did a lot of math, and I realized I had brought in millions of dollars of personal income. I was very fortunate, got involved with some good businesses, worked them hard, and things went well. I also gave a lot of that money back when I talked about, you know, the 07 and 08 crash, and I ended up, thankfully, with still some money, but not a fraction of what I should have had. And I started going back, adding up all the payments I've paid out. Now, for me, I come from the world of real estate. So I've paid out many more payments than the average person does. Now, I couldn't have self-financed all those deals, but I could have self-financed some of them. And if I could have picked up the payments that I paid to lending institutions or to private lenders, if I could have picked up even a portion of those for myself, that would have been an extra couple million dollars in my life. And I thought, wait a minute, people need to know this. And the kind of account that you set it up in, not only would it have been a couple extra million dollars, it would have been tax-free for life. And so I thought, look, and I told you before, Bill, if I've got $200,000 worth of education, and I do from some of the top minds in the country, and nobody had ever taught me that concept, is it a fair assumption that the average person out there that doesn't have that kind of inside education, that they don't know about it? The answer is no way do they know about it. There's nobody that does, almost nobody. So I thought, look, I want to go out there and make this my mission to show people how to create tax-free generational wealth, how to show them why they're being lied to, why they're being cheated, and they don't even know it. And I want my mission to be that, hey, even after I'm gone, with the accounts that I set up for people, we're going to create tens of thousands of families that are going to create generational wealth when they understand how this program works and how the account that we set up, how that works for the current generation and how it benefits future generations as well. So that's absolutely, you hit the nail on the head. I was fed up. I should have had more, and I wanted to know why I didn't. And I found out why I didn't, and now I want to teach the world why they don't and what to do about it, how to turn it around.
You know, John, I went through a similar experience with a business where after I worked my way through some painful lessons with things not going the way that I expected and not the way that they were even contracted, I said, I'm going to figure out what the right way to have handled this would have been. And I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to become the resource for people who get into that situation so that, you know, when you're in trouble with that, with business growth issues, I want to be the person I would have called when I was in that troubled situation. And it sounds like you've done something very similarly, saying, I went back, learned my lessons, and now I'm going to tell everyone I can so that they could benefit and there just doesn't have to go through that pain in order to get the benefit and the lessons, the tools and the strategies that you've invested in. Is that accurate?
That is very accurate. I think what it boils down to, if you take something out of the medical field that we're all familiar with, you had to do an autopsy on what went wrong. And so you did your autopsy and said, wow, I could have done this, this, and this. It would have been turned out differently. So now let's share my findings of my autopsy with people before they get into those situations so they don't make the same mistakes. And that's exactly what we're doing here at Perpetual Wealth Systems.
What about when you see your students and the people who are part of your different high-level programs benefit and start to turn around their finances and start to accumulate the wealth and enjoy that higher level of lifestyle and less anxiety that comes from being in financial struggles, what part of that gives you the most satisfaction?
Well, I think the part of it that definitely brings me satisfaction. But the part that really brings me the most satisfaction is, and I alluded to it before, is because in the account, the way we have it set up, this money that we grow and protect is not just going to benefit my clients, which it does, but it's not just going to benefit them. It's going to benefit their children and grandchildren. So a long time after I'm gone, there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars of wealth that's created for families out of the little pebble that I dropped in the pond. And for me, that's my legacy. I've got two beautiful boys. They're really my true legacy. But, you know, if I want to leave a bigger mark on this world, I want to help a bunch of families. There's going to be kids going to school, starting businesses. They'll never know who I am. They'll never know my name. But they're going to be doing a lot of that because of what we set up today with their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. So I really love the fact that we teach family for generations, not just, hey, how to make some money, how to actually create wealth automatically, systematically, and it's something you can pass on to the next generation with some simple training, and you're going to leave behind a pile of money to be able to help them get started. So I think that's my most that's what, in my mind, that's really what my mission is.
John, what do you focus on in order to keep abreast of what's going on in business and in the news? What do you pay attention to on a daily or weekly basis to stay on top of things?
Well, you know, I think I get a lot of my information from online now, like a lot of people. I also watch the national news without fail every night. I'd like to watch some decent talk shows. I read periodicals. I read my local paper, the Detroit News. I also read Crane's Business Detroit, which for me locally is fantastic. It's a great source. And those are my main topics. Other than that, you know, I also receive some periodicals from – I do receive a periodical from Dan Kennedy with a CD. So I'm always going out there in the marketplace to find people who have achieved what I want or some version thereof, and just staying abreast of things. And from as far as education and what's going on in the marketplace. To give you a quick example of that, you know, I'm from Detroit, and the big news now in Detroit, of course, is the bankruptcy. And it's not going to be the only one, but right now it's the biggest one. And what I've got an opportunity now, I go back to local news outlets and say, hey, wait a minute, we're doing a lot of good things here with local real estate. People are bringing in millions of dollars. So when you see that's happening in the news, you need to ask yourself, okay, how can I position myself to be in the forefront of this, and how can I get some local press or even national press? And that's what we're in the process of doing now since Detroit filed its bankruptcy.
And you're involved in writing books. You're involved in creating programs, delivering the programs, speaking to groups all over the country. What are some of the tips that you have on a daily or weekly basis that help you stay productive and on track with your priorities?
Well, what I do on a daily basis, at least every productive day, is I make sure I sit down the night before. I happen to be a night person. I'm not a great morning person. And I sit down with an old Franklin planner, and I open it up, and I create a checklist. And I have two different checklists. I have the to-do list, and I have the to-call or email list. So I just go open every day. I've got an L-shaped desk, and on the left side of that L, I've got that planner open. And I'm always referencing back to it. Okay, what do I do? And when I do that, I'll tell you what, Bill, when we take the time to organize our day, I have some phenomenally productive days. On the days I don't do that and I slack and I just get up and kind of go in, you know, it seems like you're there for, it could be there 7, 8, 9, 10 hours, and you don't really seem to get anything done. So that's one thing I can share with people is write it down, create a couple different checklists of to-dos and to-calls, and even if you don't do it, go back at that night and say, okay, I didn't do these three things. I'm either going to do them tomorrow or move them forward somewhere or delegate them or get rid of them. So take a time management class, understand how that works, and write things down. That's if people do that, they're going to increase their production 300-400% on whatever they want to accomplish.
As you look back on your business over the past 15, 20 years since you started, when would you say would be a turning point that you recognize, you know, I've really made it to the next level? This is something that's going to grow. I've made a good decision in order to be an entrepreneur and create a business and to help people this way.
Well, I think I've had a couple of those moments because I've been fortunate enough to start a couple different businesses. But, you know, in my early 20s, when I dropped out of school and said, hey, I want to go in the real estate business with no background in that, no family background in that, I come from a working class, upper blue-collar family. My dad was a Detroit police officer. My mom worked for American Airlines. I didn't have any background in that. So when I did decide to do it and I went out, I struggled at first. I struggled my first 6, 9 months. I didn't make any money, and it was tough. But, you know, when I was, I think, 23, I think I made $100,000 that year. And, you know, that's a lot of money even today. But back then, when you're 23 years old and it's 20 years ago, that's a lot of money. And I've been fortunate, you know, that every year since then I've done better. And so that was one of the turning moments. Another turning moment I had recently in 07 and 08, I had to get rid of some certain financial myths. And, you know, one of those myths is the account that we use to help people is a properly designed whole life insurance contract. And it has to be properly designed. And that flies in the face of everything that I was taught for those previous 20 years. I was taught, and they're still teaching today, don't ever put money inside a whole life insurance policy. It's a lousy place to put money. And to be fair, Bill, for what the gurus of then and the gurus of now understood about it, they're right, because a typical whole life insurance policy, you put money in, and it takes 20 years for it to break even on the amount of money that you put in it as far as cash value goes. Well, that is a lousy place to grow money. But what they don't understand is there's a different way to structure insurance policies, that they actually have high cash value from day one, and it doesn't take but a few years to have as much money in there as you've put in there, and then from that point forward, they become cash machines. And because it's a life insurance contract, it's a tax-free cash machine. So I had to get over that, because I was taught the antithesis of that for all this time, and I thought, you know what, I've been misled. If someone would have really made me understand this 20 years ago, as I said, I'd have millions of dollars more. So those have been two paradigm shifts. When you first make $100,000 and you're in your early 20s or whatever age you do it, you start to realize, hey, this is great. This is beneficial. I'm so glad I did this. And then when you lose a lot of it and you got to go back to basics and you realize that, hey, some of the stuff I was taught just was bad information. And it wasn't deliberate. It's just the people that taught me didn't understand the other side of the coin. So we show people the other side of the coin and how to use those accounts to actually create wealth.
Well, John Jamison, you have shared so many great ideas with us today about the perpetual wealth system which you've developed, as well as ideas such as being a huge believer in education, knowing how to make a monthly payment that actually benefits you rather than the financial system which we've grown up with, the importance of plugging the big holes in your bucket, which gives you at least as much benefit as putting more into your bucket, because what matters at the end of the day is, like you've said, Ben Franklin's statement, a penny saved is a penny earned, or as you like to say, John, $1,000 saved is $1,000 earned. You've shared with us great ideas about the four wealth drains to look for, and take us through practical examples about how you're better off buying a car than putting the same amount of money into a 401k. Your mission is to help create tax-free wealth for individuals as well as their children and grandchildren and beyond, so that your effect and your impact creates a legacy that lasts on for generations. Thank you so much for joining me on My Quest for the Best today. And please tell us where we can find out more online about you and your programs so that we can continue to learn from you.
Well, Bill, first of all, I want to thank you for having me aboard and getting a chance to talk to your group today. It's very, very exciting when I can come on shows like this and really try to affect people's lives. So thank you for inviting me on the show, and I would love to come back at a future date. As far as how people can get in touch with me, it's funny that we're doing this show today, because I just launched my book yesterday on Amazon. And in one day, we went from from hundreds of thousands of books to we hit the number four in the investment section today, and we're really excited about that. So I've got a bundle of benefits for people that will come and just order my book. First of all, find it at theperpetualwealthsystem.com. Kind of long, theperpetualwealthsystem.com. There's going to be a big balloon on the homepage up top. Click on it. There's over $3,000 worth of bonuses that you get totally free just for buying the book. And read with the bonuses that you get. Click on it. It'll take you to Amazon, and you can buy it right there. You can even buy the Kindle version. So what I'd like people to know is when they read that book, they're going to be shown some hope. They're going to be shown that, you know what, we've been bamboozled, we've been conned, we've been hoodwinked, and there's nothing we can do about the past, but we can certainly change the future. The past does not have to equal the future, and with some different knowledge and a different action plan, you will totally revolutionize where you and your family end up 5 years from now, 10 years from now, generations from now, because when you set up these whole life insurance contracts, a side benefit, icing on the cake, is that you leave behind a big death benefit for family or charities or foundations. It's the only count, Bill, in the world that you can actually spend every nickel that you have during your lifetime, and you'll still leave a pile of tax-free money behind for your family. So that's what I would encourage people to do is, you know, I think it's a $13 investment. Buy the book. That's the first step. And the neat part is once you read the book, if you'd like to get these programs set up, please contact us, because you do need someone who niches in these particular policies. This is not something the average insurance agent knows. You're not going to go to your typical insurance agent and get this done. It has to be a company that specializes in this, because they are a different animal, and that's exactly what we do. So please visit me once again at theperpetualwealthsystem.com. Buy a book, and please help us get us over the top with the Amazon bestseller list, and we can help you and your family. I'm really excited to do that for folks.
John, thanks again.
Bill, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.